My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. These words of Jesus in the Gospel of St. John speak comfort and promise to those who know that life and peace may only be found by abiding in the Savior. Always with Christ is a ministry of Holy Cross Anglican Church. Located in the desert mountains of Alpine in far west Texas, Holy Cross seeks to faithfully serve our Lord and our community by sharing the love of God in Jesus Christ, teaching the doctrine of the apostles, and breaking the bread of life. In this series, Father Damian Grout helps us understand the wisdom of observing the church year and the way it plays an important role in conforming us to the image and likeness of our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Blessed are the eyes which see the things that ye see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. These are the words that open our gospel lesson for this 13th Sunday after Trinity, and they are especially appropriate to these days. We continue seeking the grace of illumination. We are seeking the blessedness that comes from having the light of God illuminating our eyes, revealing to us the truth about ourselves, and more importantly, the truth as it is found in Jesus. We continue seeking the blessedness of ears that are open to hear, not simply the audible words of the Scriptures being proclaimed, but being able to hear the voice of Christ speaking into our hearts. These words of blessing are initially spoken upon the 70 who went out into the world with the gospel of the kingdom. They were sent out two by two, and when they come back from the regions all around, they marvel at all the things that God accomplished through them, for they realized that even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. To this Jesus responds, Behold, I give unto you the power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. We need to remember this message because it's true for us too. We as members of the body of Christ have been sent out into the world on the same mission, and though all that was true for them, this subjection of devils through the name of Jesus, the authority to tread over all the power of the enemy, this is true of us. None of the devices of the enemy can truly hurt us in Christ. This is part of the lesson that we're trying to learn during Trinity season. We are taking up the fight against the deadly sins, against our adversary the devil who seeks to devour us, against all the powers of hell that want to drag us down into sin and death and to convince us that we still belong to decay and destruction. What does our Lord tell us? That in Him we can deny all these claims upon us, that we can overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil. But the point isn't about stockpiling spiritual power, but to rejoice in the source of that power. He reminds us that we are not rejoicing in the authority that is given to us, but in the one in whom the authority and power comes. But we are not the only ones who rejoice. Our Lord rejoices over us who have been made partakers of this heavenly vision, that have been given the eyes to see and the ears to hear, to perceive the things of the kingdom. But immediately this heavenly vision is put to the test, for a certain lawyer stands up to tempt Jesus, and he asks him a very good question. What shall I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus responds with the words that Christians have heard for centuries at each Eucharistic service. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. This is the message that has been from the beginning, the message to which all the people of God, both Old and New Covenant, commit themselves. But the lawyer wants to justify himself, to find a loophole. He doesn't find much wiggle room in the call to love God with his whole being, but he hoped to find some in the loving of his neighbor. So he puts this question to Jesus, And who is my neighbor? In answer, Jesus tells what just might be his most well-known parable, the parable of the Good Samaritan. It's a simple story. It's about a man who, traveling the Jericho road, falls among thieves who rob him, strip him, beat him, and leave him for dead. But that's just the context. The story takes its form in the three different travelers who come upon this beaten man. First there comes a priest, then comes a Levite. Both of these had been given the privilege of serving God in his temple. They were the ones who were entrusted with a mediation between God and his people. They were the ones in whom the whole community was supposed to be able to look and see what God is like. But what does the priest and what does the Levite do? They both see the man in his suffering, and they both pass by on the other side. I'm certain that there were all sorts of reasons that the priest and the Levite gave themselves in their avoiding of this dying man. and they were convinced of their validity and reasons. But the story turns in the third actor who comes upon this bleeding man in the road, the Samaritan. This parable, like all the parables of Jesus, turned many of the stories that the Israelites told about themselves on their head, and instead of the Samaritan becoming the punchline of the story, as was almost always expected, the Samaritan shows himself more priestly. He is a more true representation of God than either the priest or the Levite, for in this worse than a Gentile Samaritan, the love of God and the loving of neighbor is displayed. The Samaritan sees this beaten and dying one. He doesn't pass by on the other side. He has compassion on him. He binds up his wounds, pours wine and oil in them. He puts the man upon his own beast. He sets him up with lodging, and he promises to pay any additional expenses. The parable ends with Jesus turning the question back upon the lawyer who asked, "Who is my neighbor?" The lawyer asks this question in an attempt to restrict the limit of those that he has to love. But the end of the parable turns this all around. Who was neighbor to him who fell among thieves? And the lawyer is forced to admit that it was the Samaritan. He was the one who showed mercy. He is the one to be emulated. But this isn't the story that Israel wanted to hear. They wanted a story that allowed them to justify themselves and despise others, so they could stand before God like the Pharisee we heard of a couple of weeks back, to thank God that they're not like others. But this is to reject the lesson that we hear from St. Paul in Galatians 3. The true people of God, the true seed of Abraham, are not those who bear his physical DNA, but who follow the example of his faith in embracing the true seed, who is Jesus Christ. Today we seek to follow the faith of believing Abraham. We seek to emulate the love of neighbor that is put on display in the Samaritan. Today we look at the deadly sin of wrath, not so much at the sin itself, but in its cure that we find in Christ. We seek to put on mercy and compassion. You see, wrath is not cured by bottling it up inside of us or finding another way to vent it, but by learning to take advantage of the opportunities to show mercy upon those who are hurting, to show compassion on those who are in pain. Will you take up these life-giving virtues that we find in our Lord, that we see and hear in his parable? Or will you pass by on the other side? How will you answer?
Holy Cross Anglican Church is committed to upholding the historic Christian faith of Christ and his apostles through word and sacrament. We are located across from the golf course at 903 Fighting Buck Avenue in Alpine. Join us to worship on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. For more information, find us on Facebook at Holy Cross Anglican Church, Alpine, Texas.